Today, I want to extend an invitation to you. An invitation to enter a season of prayer and spiritual discipline. A season of thoughtful reflection and intentional remembrance. It is a season for pondering our proximity to God. How close, or maybe how far, we find ourselves from the one who is our source of life.
That's the Reverend Dr. Stephen Cook, and today he brings you a powerful message of faith entitled Wilderness Time. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, as we begin the season of Lent, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Dr. Stephen Cook, Senior Pastor of Second Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. Stephen is a graduate of Wake Forest with a bachelor's degree in religion. He earned his Master of Divinity from Baptist Theological Seminary of Richmond, Virginia, a Master of Theology degree in Pastoral Theology and Counseling from Bright Divinity School at Texas Christian University, and a Doctor of Ministry degree from Columbia Theological Seminary. Before coming to Second Baptist in November of 2010, he served churches in North Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia. Stephen, welcome to Day One.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Your church website has a tagline, gathered to worship, scattered to serve. I like that. Gathered and scattered, to those of us in the South, sound a little bit like the Waffle House hash browns menu. Sorry about that. But it is a concise explanation of what church is all about. How does that play out at Second Baptist, gathering to worship, scattering to serve?
Well, one of the things that we have really taken to heart is this idea that what we do in worship week after week forms us and informs us for how we go out to engage the world around us. Mm-hmm. Second Baptist Church is what I would call a regional church. Mm-hmm. We have members who come from all across the Memphis metropolitan area. We have something like 16 or 17 different zip codes represented among our membership. And so that means that we are very scattered across our city. And so there is something to be said for this idea that we come together in this one place and then we are sent to go and to engage the world wherever we are and wherever we happen to find ourselves in the living of our lives.
Second Baptist is also committed to honoring Christ by building unity while embracing diversity and by ministering to the world around you. You fulfill that commitment in a number of ways. You do a lot of local ministry as partners in community efforts, but you also have a strong regional partnership with Together for Hope in the Arkansas Delta. Describe that work for us.
The Together for Hope initiative has set out to address poverty in the 20 poorest counties over a 20-year period. And Together for Hope Arkansas is one of those sites. And so in a community called Helena, West Helena, Arkansas, there is a ministry that our church has come alongside in the past several years that works to address literacy needs, that works to do community development, that works to empower the young people who are living in that community to be able to really overcome some of the circumstances that statistically tell us their odds of being able to gain literacy skills, to be able to achieve educational milestones that others of us might take for granted. Those are huge obstacles to try and overcome. So we have invested in partnerships there that allow us to assist with literacy programs. We do book drives. We have members of our church who are retired educators who go and who advise those in the area, who work with some of the local reading programs that Together for Hope has started. Each year we do an intergenerational back-to-school block party in a small community there. We try and provide necessary supplies, again, things that so many of us might take for granted that become key pieces for education and for a student being able to start well and to be able to build from that foundation.
And globally, you're in a partnership with other Cooperative Baptist Fellowship churches in South Africa. What does that ministry involve?
The South Africa Ministry Network is something that was born a number of years ago. It originated with Cooperative Baptist Fellowship field personnel, missionaries, who were serving in South Africa and who were needing to build relationships to help support that work. Mm-hmm. We are part of a network now of seven churches that have made multi-year commitments to provide not only financial support, but also to come alongside of indigenous ministry partners, mm-hmm. relationships that we have built there, so that in the event that field personnel, missionaries, are no longer in South Africa, which happens to be the case at this point in time, mm-hmm. we have already established these partnerships where we can continue to come and serve along with those who are ministering to orphaned and vulnerable children, to those who are most at risk, mm-hmm. To the deeply impoverished. Some of the world's poorest people are among those whom we serve. And I've had the good fortune of being able to go and to provide pastor training in rural areas where some of the only access to theological education, if you would call it that, comes from whatever can be beamed in by satellite mm-hmm. and what can be seen on television. And we try and come and provide a little more formal, substantive education than perhaps what's available on the airwaves.
I understand one of the more unusual and effective local projects is your church's annual pumpkin patch. How do you see that ministering to people?
The Second Baptist Church pumpkin patch has become legendary in our Memphis community. The pumpkin patch is something that was started as an initiative to raise money for youth missions. The pumpkin patch has become for us an opportunity to practice hospitality to people from all across our community. It has become for us the single largest intergenerational ministry mm-hmm. experience that we have. Mm-hmm. And it spans for an entire month of the year, from late September through Halloween Day. We have pumpkins, tons of pumpkins. This past year, we literally unloaded 85,000 pounds
wow.
of pumpkins that we sell, and we also have the opportunity to practice hospitality. Mm-hmm. Every year on the Sunday prior to the pumpkin patch's opening, we will go as a congregation and we will do things like write prayers that we then bury in the ground and in order to create a space where we know that this is a place that has been prayed over, that has been prepared for. Every year we hear story after story of people who come and who experience the goodness of what is shown to them through that ministry that allows us to provide perhaps a better witness for who Baptists and who Christians are in our community, and that is something that we take seriously. One of the other great gifts that comes from the pumpkin patch is that when we have our unload days, we have two Saturdays where we unload a tractor trailer mm-hmm. full of pumpkins. We invite local students from high schools, from our Cub Scout and Boy Scout troops, from all across the area who come and who join with us. And it's people of all faiths, all backgrounds, all ethnicities, and working together. As you see those pumpkins coming off the truck in a giant assembly line, to me, it is as close to a picture of the kingdom of heaven as you can get.
Well, today we observe the first Sunday in the season of Lent. How do you approach this season between Ash Wednesday and Easter?
The Lenten season for me has become a time to engage more deeply with the discipline of reading and being read by Scripture. One of the things that I've learned as a pastor is that it is very easy to get caught up in the reading and the study of Scripture for the sake of preparation for whatever mm-hmm. is coming next. And for me, I make it a practice each year during Lent to take on some element of Scripture reading that is mm-hmm. totally apart from my preaching, to practice being read by the Scripture, of stillness and meditation. Some years I've done things like read the Sermon on the Mount every day for all 40 days, simply to see what new insights come to me by being saturated with that scripture. I try and find some corner of scripture to which I want to give attention that is totally disconnected from whatever I'm doing in the life of the church. And it becomes for me something that I can take on that deepens my own spiritual well-being in order that I can better serve the people of my church.
Your sermon today draws on the gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 4. Would you read it for us?
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him.
Stephen, your sermon is entitled Wilderness Time. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to listen again to today's program or read or share a transcript of Stephen Cook's sermon, visit our website at dayone.org. Or for a free printed sermon transcript, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1.
Once, when I was pastor of a church between youth ministers, I stepped in to lead the young people in that interim season. We were getting close to Easter, and I announced one Sunday night that I had a surprise for them. We were going on a field trip. So we loaded the church van and took off. You get the picture, right? A lot of excitement because we were doing something different, unexpected, out of the ordinary. It felt spontaneous, which, if you hear that word, you certainly don't associate it with my name. You can ask my wife about our first date and she'll give you the scoop. I had a van full of teenagers and they were happy to be doing something special. So imagine their reactions when I pulled up at our destination, an old cemetery not far from our church. Some of the youth thought it was kind of cool. Some of them thought that I wasn't serious, and some of them thought it was downright creepy. It was almost Easter, and I had been telling them about how important the resurrection is for our lives. In the midst of that, I read a great line from that great preacher we all wish we could craft words like, Barbara Brown Taylor. Somewhere she wrote that you can't get to Easter without going through a graveyard. And of course, she's right. She's absolutely right. So I took the youth to a cemetery. I drove them over there to remind them that Easter's resurrection celebration is only meaningful if you remember that someone had to actually die first. A lot of us would just as soon have Easter without Good Friday. But as Brian Erickson has noted, following Christ cannot be a part-time hobby. If we are going to be serious about following Jesus, then we had best be ready to go some places we might not otherwise choose on our own. Today, I want to extend an invitation to you, an invitation to enter a season of prayer and spiritual discipline, a season of thoughtful reflection and intentional remembrance. It is a season for pondering our proximity to God, how close, or maybe how far, we find ourselves from the one who is our source of life. I am inviting you to come into a wilderness time during these days of the Lenten season. You see, in the same way that you can't get to Easter without going through a graveyard, we cannot get into Lent without going through a wilderness. There is no getting around it, really. The only way through this 40-day trek to the resurrection is by way of the wilderness. Remember where the Spirit drives Jesus after he emerges dripping wet from the baptismal waters? The wilderness. God's voice is still ringing in his ears. His hair is still not dry. Next thing Jesus knows, he's in the middle of nowhere, alone and tempted like never before. And Jesus' journey into the wilderness isn't the first desert excursion God ever orchestrated. The story of the Hebrew people hinges on what happens where? The wilderness. Word comes to them from God that there is a place for them, a good place, a place to call their own and to live their lives to the fullest there. But to get there, they have to go through the wilderness. Psalm 25 is one among many from the Bible's prayer book that remembers the long, lonely trek through the wilderness. There may not be a better prayer out there for days like these than this very one. After all, if days like these are an invitation for us to seek God, to learn God's ways and God's paths, as opposed to assuming we know all we need already, then this passage might need to be the first place we turn. I love the way the Common English Bible renders Psalm 25:1. I offer my life to you, Lord. The person praying this prayer has elected to give her life to God. This is an individual making an offering, saying, "Here I am, Lord. I am yours. I am nothing other than yours. I am not my job, and my job is not me. I am not my money or my reputation, my education or my social status. I am not defined by the good I have done and the accomplishments I have achieved. And neither am I defined by what I have left undone, the places I have fallen face forward into the ground, the wrongs I have inflicted on others and myself. I am none of these things. I am nothing other or else than yours, O God. I offer my life to you, Lord." Brian Erickson also says, reading the Psalms is like spiritual eavesdropping. Listening in on this prayer's prayers, we get the sense this is someone who is beyond playing games with God. I wonder if during this Lenten season we might covenant to pray like this person does. Is there anyone besides me who needs to keep working at giving every part of my existence over to God? There are some things I am not yet ready to let loose of. There are some habits that I just am not ready to break yet. There are some parts of my life in the everyday comings and goings that I know I ought to do something about, but I keep finding excuses for why now just isn't a good time. Does anyone else ever feel something like that? On the church calendar, we have different seasons that we designate. In the Baptist congregation I serve as pastor, we give differing levels of attention to the liturgical year in our worship and study together. We mark the 4 weeks of Advent and 12 days of Christmas, though we do like to blend the two together. We observe Ash Wednesday, and then 40 days later, not counting Sundays, of course, we have Easter. 50 days after that, including Sundays this time, we celebrate the day of Pentecost. And then there is a long stretch of time called Ordinary Time, too. I wonder if this time, this season of Lent, might just as well be named Wilderness Time. In wilderness time, we have the chance to turn away from the spaces and places, patterns and habits of where and how life is normally lived. In wilderness time, we intentionally offer our lives to God, such as they are, and return to the bedrock belief that we belong to God and that God will never let us go. Practicing a faith like that, really, actually doing faith like that. That requires harder work than most of us want to slow down and take the time to do. There are so many other things that seem more pressing, so many other things that occupy our interests. And when the preacher preaches about such things, we might be inclined to think, well, life's not perfect. Never has been, never will be. But things are okay enough. Sure, there could be room for some things to be better, but why run the risk of changing anything? What if more gets messed up and stuff gets way out of sorts? Then what? I was taking a seminar up in the mountains of North Carolina several years ago in the late days of winter. I was at Montreat, that idyllic little town nestled in among the hills. There's a lake at Montreat, Lake Susan, where I watched two beautiful white swans swimming around on the water. Only at that time of the year, up high in the mountains, with the temperatures as low as they were, there was a lot of ice on the lake, especially around the edges. Swimming wasn't so easy for those swans. I stood watching the swans, these big, beautiful birds who were absolutely determined to get to the middle of the water. Out in the middle, at the deepest part, there wasn't any ice. Out in the middle, they could swim and enjoy doing what, as best I can tell, swans are made to do. They could pursue what their real purpose is, which is to swim. In wilderness time, we remember our original purpose. We go off the deep end in pursuit of the God to whom we belong. We remember that the words we speak, the actions we take, the feelings we feel, the thoughts we think, they all belong to God. We remember that our God has an open invitation to step out beyond the comforts of the same old, same old. We wander out into the wilderness, and there, only there, do we find the way to new life. Let us pray. God of our comings and goings, as we enter this wilderness time and devote these 40 days to you, we call on you to prepare the way of your Spirit's work in us and through us, so that we may be ready to confront whatever awaits in our pursuit of you. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Dr. Stephen H. Cook, Senior Pastor of Second Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. For a free printed transcript of his message for the first Sunday in Lent, titled Wilderness Time, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. To listen again to today's program, share a sermon transcript, or watch inspiring videos, visit us online at dayone.org. And keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial contributions of our faithful listeners. If you appreciate our ministry, please consider sending a donation. We're grateful for your much-needed support. Again, our address is Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week, Stephen Cook returns to Day 1 with a sermon for the second Sunday in Lent entitled, On Beyond. Be sure to tune in. Now, Stephen Cook offers some final reflections on today's message with our host, Peter Wallace.
Stephen, you share the story of taking a youth group to a surprise destination, a cemetery, hoping to impress upon them that you can't get to Easter without going through a graveyard, as Barbara Brown Taylor put it. Jesus had to die first before we could have the resurrection celebration. You said if we're going to be serious about following Jesus, then we had best be ready to go some places we might not otherwise choose on our own. What might that mean in our lives?
I think that it means that we have to look at both the internal as well as the external. Internally, what are those places of our lives that we don't want to engage, mm-hmm. those areas where we would rather not hold that before God and let God have God's way with us? Mm-hmm. I think we're sometimes very good at compartmentalizing some of those pieces of our personalities mm-hmm. and our souls even. And externally, I think it also means that we have to be willing to consider where we might need to engage more deeply. Mm-hmm. Are there neighbors? Are there ones whose paths we cross that we don't see, that we don't give much attention to? Are there relationships to which we might be called, but that we haven't given ourselves time and space to really consider whether that might be the case or not?
Mm-hmm. You invited us to enter into Lent by thinking of it as a season of prayer and spiritual discipline, as a season of thoughtful reflection and intentional remembrance, as a wilderness time. Would you say more about why we should do this?
I think that as we go about the living of our lives, so many of us who are people of faith have been people of faith for quite a long while. It is very easy for me, and I suspect that this is the case for others as well, to go on autopilot,
mm-hmm.
to simply go through the motions of what we always do. And that can even be the case in the season of Lent, that we always observe these days. We know sort of the predictable patterns of what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important that we pause and remember that this can be different, that we can be different, and that God wants us not simply to feel differently, but to live differently.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a season that gives us an opportunity to really hone in on that and to dig into what that can mean for us.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind this week?
I hope that we will remember the wisdom of Barbara Brown Taylor, that we cannot get to Easter without going through a graveyard. There may be some things within us that need to die in order that there might be a resurrection for us to celebrate when we come to the end of these sacred 40 days.
Stephen Cook, thank you for being with us, and we look forward to having you back next week.
Thank you.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.